you. Right now, I want to bring in a guy who's had 27 years in law enforcement, senior guy, Rich Marianos, who was a senior guy at the BATF, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. And he leads a group called Tobacco Law Enforcement Network. Now, what they are specifically doing is they're focusing on the illicit vapes that are being pushed through convenience stores and smoke shops, even in states like New Jersey, where the product is illegal. And what we have found is that 95% of these vape products that are going through convenience stores that kids have access to are here illegally through China, through the cartels. They bypass customs. You don't know what the hell's in these products. So I wanted Rich Marianos to join us and explain what is the problem and what can you do as a resident wanting to protect your kids. Hey, Rich, good morning.
Hey, Bill, thanks for having me.
So
on, and great intro.
Thank you. I appreciate you coming on. You're a busy guy, and you know, but you're doing good work. So first, if you can, just tell us about the problem, and then let's talk about how it impacts New Jersey and what parents can do about it.
Well, the problem is once the vape market took hold, it's a great idea in terms of tobacco harm reduction to get people away from combustible cigarettes. I'm not a smoker, nor am I an advocate, but anything that can change the dynamic of a product that is so dangerous, I'm all for it. What happened in the meantime, as this product was being put out and being regulated by the FDA, the Chinese government, Communist China, Red Army, got involved in counterfeiting and making their own form of these illegal vapes and flooded the market to the point of roughly 86% in the United States are illegal, brought in by these high-level, high-value targets, which are threatening our national security, are threatening our stores that are trying to do legal business. And furthermore, as you brought up, they're a huge threat to our community, where over 1,000% increase in the last 5 years of young adults and kids that are addicted to these criminal Chinese products.
So what do you do for, let's go back. What do you do from a law enforcement perspective? Because, you know, is it that do the stores really know what they're selling? Are they, you know, where is the criminal enterprise most active? Is it in the distribution? Is it in the retail end of it? And where do you focus the crackdown?
Well, that's a great question. And the biggest crackdown that we see is enforcement at these vape stores. And I'm talking the criminal vape stores, not the mom and pops that are selling legal products, but the ones where you can't throw a softball without hitting one, that are selling these products alongside what I call synthetic narcotics, THC, 7-OH, kratom, nitrous oxide. We all know the products that are there that are also illegal, but they're being distributed in vape shops. And our network of law enforcement professionals see these as a threat because they're licensed crack houses now, if you want to, you know, put it in perspective. Mm-hmm. They're licensed narcotic spots in which the vape is just one of the threats that we can use as law enforcement to put these crooks down. They have multiple locations. Many are family-owned, mm-hmm, with partners all over a community. Many carry guns. Many are involved in trade-based money laundering, where when law enforcement hits them, they have hundreds of thousands of dollars along with illegal narcotics. But it starts with disrupting the marketplace and enforcement of those vape shops all over the country. They're involved in illegal activity.
How would the consumer know the difference between something that, and I'm so glad you pointed out, because Rich, very few people in this business on the, not necessarily on the law enforcement side, but just on the anti-vape advocacy side, want to give the backstory, which is the whole concept was to get people off of cigarettes. So it's what started as a really positive move from cigarettes to essentially steam and vapor turned into getting kids addicted to drugs. So, so I'm glad you started that way. But what? How do you tell the difference? Because this idea of just stopping vaping altogether, not practical. How can the consumer know what they've got? They shouldn't be putting anywhere near their body.
Well, on the FDA website, they've done a decent job of identifying the ones that are regulated for sale, which is around 40. And 9,500 to over 10,000 are illegal.
Wow.
And the sad part is they are not marked that, an example that a company may sell an illegal product like Elf Bar that will change its name very quickly once it's identified by law enforcement or identified by the federal government as illegal to shade itself again. So it's very, very hard, and they're extremely calculated in their marketing strategies and how these criminal products are put into the marketplace.
How big is the law enforcement network? I mean, you've got a network of law enforcement folks that are experts, subject matter experts. They're good at what they do. How big is this problem in terms of, is it being addressed? Are the resources there? And what can the next governor do in order to solve this problem?
Well, let's start with what the governor can do and what law enforcement can do around the country or in your listening range. Is they can give officers and their staff and their high-level police executives the authority, the support to go after these locations. Because, they are not just about a vape store. They're about a criminal enterprise, which is not just involved in vapes. We have, like I said, all the synthetic narcotics. We have the stick-ups, the robberies, the burglaries, the smash-and-grabs all over the nation that are taking place, to include New Jersey. And to go after these criminals and give law enforcement the tools, because it's just like the broken windows theory. You clean up these vape shops, you're going to begin to clean up the community.
Yeah.
Just recently in St. Louis, they had a targeted law enforcement operation at all these vape shops. And it was amazing how when they looked at the statistics, before and after, how they changed the dynamic of the community where these drug dealers weren't hanging out outside. These offenders weren't going in and out of these shops. And it created a change in the environment. But we need decisive action by the states, by the federal government, to make a commitment to go after these things. Because, you know, we always say, and we hear every politician talk about, China is our biggest threat to national security. They're making currently roughly $300 billion a year on this country's back selling these products.
Yeah.
And the end consumer are our kids. Our greatest resource is being threatened and becoming, in some cases, nicotine zombies by these illegal products.
So, Rich, I'm out of time. I want you to tell people where they can go. Do you have a website that there is a resource or a number specifically for retailers and for parents? Is there a place they can go?
Yes, and the law enforcement network, and I'll make it quick, has police resources, school resource officers. We also have counselors on our staff, school counselors, and we try to put together a comprehensive approach to this. It's at www.enforcetobaccolaws.com. Also leadership at tobaccolawenforcement.com and on X at Enforce Tobacco. We welcome to work with community groups, schools, law enforcement. That's what we were designed for, because all of us that are in this group, if you would have told us 30 years ago that we'd be working this, we would laugh at you.
Yeah, you'd never believe it. Well, I'm going to follow you guys on X, and if there's something that you need shared, please tag me, and we'll get this out on our website as well. Rich Marianos, thank you for joining me today. Appreciate all that you're doing for the community. Thank you, Rich.
Thank you, Bill, and thank you for getting the message out.
You got it. You take care.